Here at In Search of Tarot, we're incredibly excited to announce Meet Me at the Margin, a month-long virtual conference for queer people who want to reclaim and restory their innate capacity for ambiguity, paradox, and liminality. When we hear someone described as marginal, we understand that description to be synonymous with silenced or pushed aside. But what changes when we reframe the margin as a site of power and possibility? Meet Me at the Margin will explore queerness through the lenses of tarot, astrology, narrative therapy, eco-mythology, archetype, art, and more, guided by some of today's most marginal thinkers: Charlie Clare Burgess, Amy DeGennaro, Edgar Fabian Frias, Nick Kepley, Jonathan Coe, Sophie Strand, Chanti Tokoronto Perez, and more to be announced soon. Early bird registration is now open, and you can save 25% when you register by May 7th. Members of our Patreon community receive an additional 15% off, and then there are more discounts for members of the trans and drag communities, as well as a special student rate for people 18 to 22. We'll drop the link to register in the show notes, and please feel free to visit manofthecards.com/meetmeatthemargin for more information. We hope to see you at the margin this June. Welcome back to In Search of Tarot, a podcast that examines, questions, and reimagines our approach to life and the cards.
Through guest interviews and in-depth discussions, we'll explore and expand the beautiful complexities of spirituality, philosophy, magic, and more.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Angie.
And we're your hosts for this fascinating ride.
Thanks for being here with us.
Hello, everyone. Today, we are thrilled to be sharing our very special guest host episode for April. Today's episode is hosted by the one and only Sam Valentine of Valentine Tarot, who was joined by the equally singular Jordan Rain of Sincerely the Tarot. Allow me to introduce them to you more formally via their bios. Sam Valentine doesn't like to self-identify, but when she does, it's as an aesthete, tarot reader, and curator of vibes. Reading tarot primarily for fun and enjoyment, their work leaves space for not knowing, and they hold no set expectations about what the cards might quote-unquote mean. A tarot hobbyist, creative, and magical practitioner on the side, Sam spends most of her time on her work in her professional capacity as a community activist. Jordan Rain is a queer transmasque tarot lover. He believes that tarot is a juicy tool for self-empowerment and meaning-making. He has a deep relationship with magic, ritual, beetles, and worms. Jordan creates tarot-inspired prose, collage, affirmations, and oracle cards. Subscribers of his monthly snail mail offering receive these treasures and a tarot card from a different featured deck. Listening back to this conversation between Sam and Jordan during the editing process felt like tapping into the phone line of a cozy, loving conversation between besties, as Sam might say. I sincerely loved every minute of it, and I know you will too.
Gorgeous. Okay, we are starting. We are live on air. All right. Hello, dear listeners of In Search of Tarot. I am Sam Valentine, and I was honored to be asked by Nick and Angie to be a guest contributor here on this podcast that I'm actually a listener of. So it's a really great moment for me, an opportunity to me to have a space to talk about one of my favorite things, which is tarot. Now, I am a very chill, casual, fun person, so this will not be maybe the most serious, the most structured discussion. This is intended to be a casual and playful space for exploration. And in thinking about what I wanted to do with my little guest spot here, and in the spirit of community that Nick and Angie have fostered on this podcast, I wanted to invite my friend Jordan here, who is one of the influences on my tarot practice, who has been really important to how I think of the tarot and meaning making and magic, et cetera. I'm so happy to have him here. And I'll let him introduce himself in a moment, but I will introduce me first. So as I said, I'm Sam Valentine. I am a tarot practitioner. In my day job, I work in the LGBT community, meaning and memory making space. And I think that tarot and magic kind of informs my daily life. And it's just a fun aspect of my life in general. I don't really like to define myself too much, so I think that's where I'm going to leave it, and I will pass it over to Jordan.
Thank you, Sam. I am a big fan of yours, have been for a while. Happy to be here spending time with you today. And hello to anyone who might be listening. I am Jordan Rain. My pronouns are he, him. I'm a queer trans mask witch. I am many things. Some of the things I'll name right now is Aquarius Sun, Virgo Rising, Taurus Moon, and Bug and Bones lover, and a creature who's obsessed with tarot and ritual and queering everything that I can. And yeah, we'll leave it at that.
I absolutely love leaving it at all of that. Like, what a beautiful like list of things to put out there and to just let be in the space and like let inform the conversation we're gonna have. One of the things that I most am drawn to your work about and that you just mentioned, so I'll touch on it, is the way that you involve ritual in your tarot practice and kind of how you structure and relate your magic and tarot together. So I'm kind of wondering if we could start off with maybe what does magic mean to you? What does ritual to mean to you? If those things are connected or if they're separate, et cetera. And how has your own magic supported and cared for you and vice versa?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, they do feed one another for me very much so. I do think that I can work with the tarot without like going too deep into ritual. I do not think I can go too deep into ritual without incorporating tarot. You know, my tarot practice can kind of range from like a very quick daily pull. You know, ideally I'm sitting down and journaling and spending time with it. And also please see that I am many other things. And sometimes it's a quickie in the morning. And then we can swing into like spending hours in ritual at night and things getting real weird. So, yeah, I don't know. They have gone hand in hand, I think, since the beginning for me of, you know, when I came to start working with the tarot. So yeah.
Gorgeous. I like the self-description of real weird. I feel like if I were to think of words to describe you, I feel like real weird and like the most like loving and generous and real raw way of how much I appreciate weirdness, like really is like what I see in your ritual work and what inspires me to like be messy and to like allow oneself to be as weird as oneself is. And like I really value that in you and your work.
Thank you very much. That's like that's what I'm here for, you know. And that's, you know, part of having Sincerely the Tarot on Instagram. I mean, that's probably the core hope for me, is that any way that I could sort of empower anyone else to just like let go and play and explore and trust themselves is like, that's ideal. So do you have any, like, you want to talk about your practices with the tarot or ritual or anything?
Yes, I'll just kind of touch back on your use of like trust and like self-trust as a theme. I feel like when I first came to my tarot practice, I didn't necessarily trust myself to work with it. And I feel like I worked with the tarot and with magic and meaning making in a way that was like maybe not the right way for me. And it took me time to kind of like let go of what I thought a practice should be and to like allow myself to trust myself to be messy, to not have consistency, to do what I wanted when I wanted, and not to necessarily force myself into some sort of structure that I saw maybe other people doing, et cetera, because that's not what works for me. And your example is something that really helps me in that process, I think, like seeing you're like one of the first people I like met in the tarot space, and like seeing how you could so freely work with the tarot really inspired my practice too, and like allowed me to kind of just do what I want. And that's been, I think, has gone hand in hand with like my self-identifying and self-discovery journey, quote unquote, is that as I've allowed myself to be more freely expressive, to not be caught up in defining myself in certain ways, I think I've become more free in myself and my expression. And so that has gone hand in hand with how I approach the tarot as a tool for me too.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And your community too, that you fostered, seeing how other folks interact with the tarot, really has been inspiring to me as well. So for context for the audience, I'll describe how we're connected through Sincerely the Tarot. So Jordan provides an offering of male tarot readings, and I've been receiving them for quite a long time. And there's kind of like a community around that like body of work and like the deck that gets sent out every month. And I'll just turn it over to you to leave space to talk about that practice, maybe how you came to it, and like how you feel about offering readings in that way generally.
Lovely. Yeah, so I did a bit of research, and by that I meant quickly scrolling down my Instagram feed. I'm not a person who can like remember things in years, and like, you know, like, I don't know, my students and my coworkers can be like, well, in 2014, and I'm like, wait, what year is it? I need to do the math. I need to travel. So I just like, because if somebody asked me today, what year did you start, you know, working with the tarot, I wouldn't even know. But anyways, so it turns out that I started working with the tarot in January of 2015. And then in the summer of 2017, I wanted to share this discovery, I think specifically with queer folks, but also like anyone who could use a cord, a tether, like a connection to potentially opening up more to oneself. So whether we want to say like spiritually, you know, whatever, insert whatever words work. And you know, I'm a passionate human, and when I'm excited about something and I think it could, like, other people might have barriers that like I could break down if they were interested in the thing. So that's kind of what happened. I just like on my personal Instagram with friends and family said, I'm doing this thing and I would love to pull you a card and write you a letter to go with it. Because what I didn't want was for folks to Google it, you know, Google Seven of Swords. Mm-hmm. And then just receive from, I don't know, strangers on the Google. It was important to me that you know, every single card could empower a person, could have these sort of like open-ended questions to explore. And so I wanted to write a handwritten letter to really open up what, you know, I was experiencing with the tarot, no matter what card they received. And I also paired an oracle card and like a little homemade affirmation card with it. So it was like these three cards. And I started out doing it for free. And at some point, I think I asked for like $3, you know, to like cover the basics. And then at a certain point, it was growing and I was getting excited and people were getting excited. And I was like, I need to move this project into its own space. so that was sort of the beginning, and I kept doing handwritten letters for quite some time. And I am a special education teacher. I'm a parent, you know, just a lover of life. And at a certain point, needed to switch it up so that it seemed like there were more people interested in receiving mail from me than I was going to have the hours for in terms of the handwritten letter. So my project has changed a bit, but I think I'm going to take like a pause and just, you know, because now you and I intersect a little bit in our journey. If you want to.
Yeah, I love like the like just reflection on how your work has evolved, and I have received it in different iterations, and I have loved and valued it throughout its journey and growth.
Thank you.
So just appreciation to you. And yeah, it intersects with my work. Jordan's work inspired one of my primary what has become one of my primary tarot offerings, which is handwritten tarot letters, and just like full transparency and credit as always. Like Jordan is what inspired me to do that. Like his work is what really made me interested in providing that as a service and as something that I feel like can be an offering from me to others in a way that connects me to them through the magic of the cards. So thank you, Jordan, for being my inspiration.
And it's really- Can I thank you, Sam? Like it also, there was like, you know, there was some grief around my offering changing that no longer includes an individual handwritten letter. And I think that it has felt, it's been a gift and a blessing to know that you are offering that. It just made my heart feel like a little bit better that like Sam is doing this work and in your own way and with your own magic and wisdom, and just help me to feel some like peace around the transitions I've made around my offering. So I'm just so happy and so grateful and know that so many are blessed to receive the letters from you.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. Just like all of the love, like back and forth. There's like something so specific about sending, no matter what form it takes, just like sending a tarot card in the mail to someone and then them receiving it, obviously at a different time than you sent it, at a different time when they had the intention of like receiving it from you, like the time component and like delay of offering tarot in that way is like really interesting to me and has, I think, helped me understand the tarot in like a new way. So just, I wanted to provide like space for us to talk about like, what do you think it like means for you to work with tarot in that kind of delayed way? How do you think about tarot and time in general? Just wanted to give space for any discussion or thoughts around that too.
Yeah, that's been just another opportunity to trust the tarot, trust magic, trust our own magic, trust how we are like co-creating with others, because there have been quite a few of the letters that I have sent out that go on their own mysterious journey and appear in a person's mailbox at a different time than perhaps expected. And people have been so patient and amazing around that because, you know, after we drop them off, there's not a lot we can do around that. But people have said, like, this was the exact day that I needed to receive this. And even that aside, for me, it is time in this offering is so bizarre because I also receive one of the cards every month. And so I'm creating, now I typically create an oracle card every month and other components to the mail package that I'm creating about a month ahead before I'm going to receive it. And so it's like, I'm receiving the one package, you know, throughout that month while creating another one. Anyways, all that to say that I will sit down weeks later and read the collective reading or sit with whatever art that I've made for the month. And it's a trip. I'm in the creation mode, a little outside of time and space, but obviously what I'm putting into it is in alignment for me then, and then time passes and then I'm like receiving it and other people are then opening it and excited about it. And it's really hard to explain. I think you kind of have to experience it, not necessarily from me, but just that weird time warp. And just like in pulling tarot cards, I think it takes time and experience to build up that trust. And you get hit with it over and over again that, you know, this is quote unquote real, whatever that means. But, you know, this is something. This is something powerful. So those are some of the ways that it's shown up for me. What about you? How do you feel moving from sitting down I don't know if you use the word channeling, but channeling writing and then sending it off and then maybe getting like that feedback later.
Yes, it's so interesting. And like, just to touch on like what you just said about like, it's something like it being whatever you find, whatever one personally finds the tarot to be, whether that's like in a spiritual sense, in, as you said, like a channeling sense, a magical sense. What it is to me is, I'm not sure, something that I necessarily like have cogent words for. And I'm not sure that I will get there. Like, I just feel like I'll never arrive at what I think it is, but it is certainly something. So I just wanted to tap into that something as like a beautiful way to describe what tarot can be. And like, I just love that. And I would say something is what it is for me too, when I like, sit down to do written tarot readings. For me, I specifically theme them to a time. So I have done spooky season, like Halloween themed, tarot readings by mail. I've done, a big one for me is, Valentine's. So I had the experience of creating something that's themed around a time. And then I ask folks if they'd like to receive it. That comes back to me. I have to take the time to create it and then send it out. And as you said, of course, we then wait for the magic of the USPS to do whatever it's gonna do. And it has always been interesting to see, and I'm learning definitely, when things arrive to people, when they don't. And I have also had the feedback and the experience of something being late and somebody asking where it is and me saying, I don't know, it's at the USPS, they have no way of telling me. And then when it arrives, they're like, oh, it's the right, quote unquote, right time for me to receive this card. And those experiences have really, kind of as you said, like they really helped me like build trust with the tarot around timing, about what it's doing, that it's doing something. I feel that in those moments. And like, for me, I really appreciate also like the way that handwriting a tarot message for me kind of feels like very like, feels very baby, feels like very cute, very like non-serious, and like writing to a childhood pen pal. So it's like fun to have that experience as the person writing it, then have it go out and then like receive feedback from someone that like it really touched them in a way, or it was like important to them in a certain way in a certain moment. And for me, it was just like a cute, a fun moment for me. And that kind of also increases the trust for me that whatever it is that's happening when I'm in a tarot reading, whatever I'm experiencing it as in the moment, if it's coming through to the person receiving it at another time and in their moment, it's like a really beautiful thing to be a part of, like not to be corny, not to be cheesy, but like I do, it really gives me something.
Absolutely. And like, I'm sorry, who wasn't obsessed with the idea of pen pals when they were a child? Because and now we're living the dream. So I know it's a little different, but
it's just as cute, it's just as special.
Absolutely. Look at us adulting. Do you feel like as you handwrite these letters, do you think that it's changed your relationship with the tarot or your understanding, not understanding, your, does it open up how you work with certain cards? Because you're writing to someone else, and, you know, I think as we are doing that, we're also giving to ourselves, I mean, in some kind of way, to our relationship with the tarot. Has anything like stood out to you around that?
Yeah, I think for me, the combination of doing like a themed reading, so like a Valentine's-y reading, so that angle, and then the angle of when folks submit their order, not to be a couple of speaking, but when people submit their order for me, for a tarot reading, I do have like an area where people can like write if they have any intentions for the reading. So there's not only the theme component, there's if somebody's provided an intention, and then of course there is my intention, there's like my vibe, there's like how I'm feeling that day, and how those three things are coming together. And I feel like it's taught me things about the cards that I didn't expect, like allow me to see them in new angles, like thinking about certain cards that maybe for me aren't my besties, that maybe for me aren't ones that I think of in a way that's supportive for myself or that I don't have a personally wonderful relationship with, seeing them come out in a way that feels really supportive for someone in the context of a Valentine's Day reading, in the context of what someone's intention was. It feels like it like unlocks new layers of cards for me. And like, I feel like we haven't asserted this in this space because it's probably not necessary on this podcast, but like, I will just intentionally name it. I am like not someone who assigns specific meanings, quote unquote meanings, to any of the cards of the tarot. Again, not sure that needs to be said in the space of Nick's podcast. I think if you are a listener of Nick's work, you probably would assume that the type of person he'd invite on is not necessarily someone who has set card meanings. But yeah, so that is how I read the tarot, is with no set intentions for the cards. So that kind of is part of it for me. Like, I think I want to experience each card anew each time I read. And so like reading them in this way allows me to do that, especially. So I think
when you used the word unlock back there, that was it. Like, that's it. And I think that that's part of the co-creation, is I know that how I write in my journal and sometimes how I'm going to prioritize myself depending on the day, you know, I'm not always going to work as hard as possible to, like, I don't know, pull all the stuff together, right? But if I'm doing it for another, for better or worse, you know, I'm gonna show up. I'm gonna be like, yep, I've pulled you the tower and here we go, like, let's go. And, you know, I think when we sit down kind of to do something for someone else, there is something that, yeah, over and over again, we get to unlock that perhaps, I mean, and I do tear up stuff when I am using the tarot for myself. And, you know, I just think it's a different way to play. It's a different way to like work. It's a different way to create. And it's a different way to expand meaning. And I just think unlock was a really nice word for how it can spiral our own relationship with the tarot and the cards when we're sitting down to hopefully potentially unlock something for someone else, you know?
Yeah, I really feel like there is something to be said there too. And like the difference between like the potential difference and space between like reading for oneself and reading for others in general, beyond simply like the context of like Tarot by Mail that we're talking about specifically. I feel like it's like a wider point to be made too about like what it means to read tarot for yourself and create meaning for and with yourself, versus being the person who someone has come to with trust, with care, intention, with maybe like hope, with maybe excitement, to hear something. Do you know what I mean? Like that's like part of tarot reading for others for me, is thinking about, like you said, like bringing my full self, bringing it. Like I think of tarot reading for other people as like a performance that I'm putting on for them, not in a fake way. Just in terms of like, I do feel like in a tarot reading when I'm working for somebody else, I'm going on stage, putting it all on. Do you know what I mean? I'm doing the look because I really value that person as like the receiver, the audience member. The person I hope to expand the meaning of the card for. And I feel like I can sometimes do that better for others when I'm on that stage of a tarot reading than I can do for myself sometimes. I think sometimes when I'm reading for myself, I pull a card and I'm like, yeah, of course. And that's it. Which would not be enough for someone else.
Exactly. Yes, you just nailed that. That was amazing. Yeah. Yeah, there's like I do have a lot of like ritual and kind of create a container that just feels like a really sacred space when I'm like sitting down to do almost any aspect of creating for my monthly mail. And, you know, I have like a community candle that I light before polling. I have a ritual around words that I say and like whisper the people's name when I'm pulling the card for them. And so it just, there's like sort of a responsibility and not to make it like too serious. And, you know, over the years, this has become a really important part of my life. And I still like, it's gotta be a lot of play and it has to be a lot of fun because it takes a lot of time. And so I'm always open to sort of like, how is this going to feed me this month? And there, you know, there is this, you know, somebody out there said yes to you or to me, and we're both of us probably know we have shared community. And I have said yes to you, Sam, and I'm like, it's a whole experience. And like to receive mail from you, highly recommend everyone. You'll know. And, you know, there is kind of a feeling of responsibility along with the play to show up, or if on that evening, you know, I had planned to work on some of the creation, if it's not it, then part of that responsibility is for me to not do it tonight then, you know, it's to not show up and to go, this isn't it for tonight. Because I want to feel it, you know, I want to feel the electricity and the yes. And, I wait for the muses, if you will. So.
Yeah. So it's so gorgeous. And that like really touches on something that's really important to me in my tarot and magical practice is like, I think there's often a discussion around like knowing where the yes is, like following the sacred yes, in quotes, of course, because I can't not put anything in quotes, but like, I think it's just as important to pay attention to and witness like the no, like when it's not happening, what it is not, what it can't be today, what it could maybe be tomorrow, but isn't yet. Like, I think that that's like a really important aspect of this work, big quotes around this work, because of course it's a amorphous and it contains many things in the tarot space. But I think that's really important too, is acknowledging when it's a no, it's a no. And I think that we should all, you know, bear witness to ourselves in those moments just as much as when it's a excitement yes in the same way.
Absolutely. Well said.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I think, let's see. I think one of the things we've really like worked around and have like touched in different ways is like the idea of one's tarot practice. And I think I've touched a little bit on how my own practice has like evolved and changed, but I'm interested in for you, like, have you felt evolution in your personal tarot practice? How has your involvement in like ritual and like the space that you create for yourself changed and grown over time?
Definitely some similarities with what you said around kind of at first coming at it in a certain way that even though it was sort of like supposed to not be super traditional, I think at the end of the day, maybe still was somewhat traditional. And so I think just over the years, messing with that more and more and more. And I do think also allowing myself to, I don't know if be less disciplined is the right wording. I feel like I could do something more fun with that, but to kind of show up either different every day, every week, every month. I think when I started working with the tarot and started meaning making in ritual, I think I'm a little type A sometimes. And I think that I took kind of how I show up in other parts of my life. And then I just, it was the same, right? In my witchery, and you know, it was kind of like the same time every night, or you know, this happens, I don't know, with the full moon, or, and that's just over the years A, hasn't felt sustainable, and B, hasn't felt like super creative and fun. But I know I'm not the only person out there who works with the tarot or their own magic that can experience some self-judgment if you're not showing up like every night for an hour at your altar, whatever it might be, right? And then it starts to be like, whoa, 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 this is the exact stuff that we want to fight, that we don't, nobody is going to tell us how to show up to our own magic. Not even myself. I'll speak for myself. I don't want to tell myself how to show up to my own magic. So I think with my tarot practice, like one of the bigger changes is just to like release those voices as much as possible and really let myself have seasons, let myself ebb and flow. I mean, I'm hardcore obsessed with the tarot, very in love with how I experience myself when I work with the tarot and when I'm in ritual. It's just, there's nothing like it. And, you know, just not making it a chore or something. So that's one of the biggest ways. And, you know, just trying, like when you said the words, trying to have it be sort of like, you didn't say this, but paraphrasing, like almost like a new card every time, like not, I think it is beautiful to use past experiences with cards or something that someone else has said about a card, right? I like them all sort of floating around. So I don't want to like dismiss like a blank canvas and also not predetermining, right, when you see the cards, kind of how they're showing up. So
yeah, those are some things indeed. And I very much like resonate with everything you said and shared. And I feel like that's part of like how we influence each other, and may I be so bold, like co-create each other's magic throughout our work together. Like I feel like we're very like aligned in that way, is that we're not going to be making a like hard practice that needs to be a certain way. It's very much about embracing what is for oneself as it is and not forcing it. And not shaming oneself for maybe not being able to show up in the way that one would like to, that kind of thing.
Yes, heck yeah. I think it can be like really exhausting and heavy, not that it needs to be, but when we're, let's say, doing some inner work, you know, it's big, heavy stuff. And then to expect oneself to kind of use the tarot or show up with X amount of time consistently, it's just, no, thank you. That's not how I'm going to work with it. And I hope that other people also feel that they don't have to either.
I think that hoping that other people feel that they don't have to is like very much a way that I hope my tarot practice could possibly influence others too, is like, I think the idea that there is a has to or should or whatever in tarot, in magical practice, whatever it is for you, I think is really just like, it's a shame. Like if people feel that way, I think it's just like limiting one's like ability to be honest with oneself about what the practice can be, and kind of hold it back from evolving in some ways. So props to expansion, evolving, flexibility. And all that said, I really appreciate that you bring like this feeling of like, again, I hate to summarize other people's vibes, so please push back against anything I say that doesn't feel right to you. But I feel like your handle on Instagram, the way that you have kind of come into the community as Sincerely the Tarot, like I feel such a sincerity from you, and sincerity is something that I have a like fraught relationship with as a Gemini sun, moon, and rising. So just like, I appreciate the like sincerity and raw realness that you bring to the tarot while also being playful and fun. Like I feel like you show how those things can be together, and that being sincere doesn't need to mean being serious and speaking so slowly in a serious spiritual voice. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's one of the things I really value about you and your work, is the holding of those things at the same time.
Thank you. And I think I just have to give a big shout out to, you know, people like you and our our or the communities, to, I don't know, that we're showing up together like that, you know, so that, I don't know, that that we support each other, that we were, you know, briefly talking earlier about the monthly tarot hangs on the Zoom, that people come together connected through sincerely to talk about which card we received and what's going on. And there's an incredible level of playfulness that we don't need to sort of show up any kind of like serious way. And, you know, people are raw and open and genuine, and people share about the struggles and all of that. And so I just, you know, thank you. And I know I probably like couldn't be doing that without sharing that space with other people doing it. And so, you know, it's like the tarot is such a serious thing to me. And also at the end of the day, it, you know, it's also the tarot. And so, you know, we are all as communities kind of getting to make it like both playful and beautiful and serious and healing and, you know, all of these things. So I'm happy and honored to be a part of that.
Yes. Everything you said, beautiful, gorgeous, and I just love and value it all. And like, I really think, like, touching on the idea of like we quote unquote we, of course, we is always a term to examine and reflect on who's missing from we, etc. But we, as in the tarot community, kind of co-creating and constructing possibilities together, I think is very real and like has really influenced my practice in the many forms that has taken, and one of those places has been sincerely hangs for me. So I just really value the like community centric work that you're really engaging with, like building together possibilities. I think related to that, I feel like there's maybe something to touch on together on like the idea of queering the tarot. And I think that it's important to me that the work of queering the tarot takes place in community. So I feel like that's where the segue is. That's why my mind went there. But what does it mean for you to work with the tarot in a queer way? What does that general vibe mean for you in your work?
Yeah, that's a big one. And I was also thinking of the transition into talking about like being a queer person in community, where, you know, if the word spirituality works for people, like magic, you know, my Instagram account being connected through to other people, that's my like queer spiritual place. And, you know, it's, I don't know, it's incredible. So, you know, I think what queering the tarot means for me has like changed over time. I think that I'm very like obsessed with the art aspect, as I think most folks are around the tarot, right? These beautiful indie decks that are being made. And I mean, I think we, you know, most of us love art, and it's an incredible way to get to know, you know, an artist's work. And and you know, like collective decks are incredible to see. And I think initially I had, rightfully so, and it's still extremely important, really was really focused on the art of the decks, right? That part of queering the tarot meant supporting artists that were intentionally trying to use inclusive art. And I think that's still a really big piece of it for sure. And I think I was all, you know, not exclusively focused on that, because I also obviously wanted sort of interpretations of the cards to be inclusive and accessible for all. And nowadays I don't, it's definitely not a single thing. And like you said, it's really important that there's kind of a, that it's in community, because I don't get to decide, you know, what queering the tarot really means. For me, like what I, my contribution, I feel like, to queering the tarot along with everyone else who's doing that, I think is a little bit more like my Aquarian weirdness, like, you know, forget the rules, forget any restrictions and boundaries, and is more like liberating myself and hopefully encouraging others to do what you want, do what you want with it, use it for how it works for you, and don't in the ways that it doesn't. I think, I know I'm not the only one who does this, right? But like working with prayer candles, like queering the concept of prayer candles is so rad. Because I just feel like that has such a, like a prayer candle has such a vibe, you know, or at least did at one point. I think a lot of us are doing great work there to sabotage that. And, you know, using tarot obviously is all a part of like inspiring, you know, that tool and magic. So just, I think queering the tarot is, for me, using it to empower my queerness, my transness, to be like seen and take up space as much as possible, is probably closer to where I'm at with that now. What about you, Sam?
Well, after that, like, how can that be followed? Thank you for all of your words. Like, I completely am there with you. I think early in my tarot practice, I too was very focused on like deck art and like what is inclusive and accessible and supportive art in a tarot deck to work, quote unquote, for everyone. And in addition to that, of course, like the meanings, quote unquote, of those cards as well. How can that work for everyone? That was something that was really important to me in my early understanding of what it meant to like queer the tarot. And I also think I have come to lean into the idea of the specificity of what it means to be someone who's reading tarot for someone else. Like, I'm coming to the tarot with my own specific experience. And the person who I'm reading for, I don't have access to the specificity of their experience. So kind of like leaving space for that, the like not knowing there, and kind of acknowledging that no matter what I think I'm doing to queer a tarot card for myself, that might not resonate with somebody I'm reading for, that might not hit with them in a way that is accessible, and like letting that be true as well. And kind of being open to what I might think of as expansive might not be for somebody else. What I hold as like demonstrating the falseness of binary opposition, it might not be true for someone else. And that has been important to me too. Whereas my early understanding was like, how can this be for everyone? I've come to understand like acknowledging and being humble with one's own knowing is important as well.
Yeah, beautiful. So it sounds like we're kind of have similar thoughts going there. So that makes me feel good, because I hadn't really reflected on that. Some of these like topics I haven't like put words to. So that makes me feel good. And I do think this is kind of going back to what you were saying earlier. This is a little bit different, but about the time piece is that's really different than that sort of traditional tarot reading of sitting down with a person, and you're sitting like at a table perhaps with them and having a back and forth conversation around like what they're hoping to get out of it. And even with your offering, if you're, you know, have that space for them to put their intentions, like some people might not really know, and you're not having this back and forth in real time. And it is different, and we're maybe not able to like pick up on certain sensitivities. You know, I know sometimes if I'm about to have a serious conversation with someone, we might sit down and talk about like, are there any topics that would be really sensitive to you and whatnot. And I don't know, we're just not able to have that back and forth with a handwritten letter or my my meal either. And so it's true. So, you know, so I'm sending things out that I think are, you know, messing with sort of like conservative traditions all over the place. But like that, like you say, that's my experience. That's from where I'm coming from. And could, you know, sometimes I read what I've written and I'm like, what in the world does this mean? Let alone, am I, you know, I don't know. I tease myself a lot for sort of like my riddles and like my tarot reading. But, you know, yeah, am I doing the work that I want to be doing? I don't know, because it depends on how it's being received, kind of a thing.
Yeah, I completely feel you. I feel like there's like a liminality there of not having the contexts that can be provided by like a live in-person tarot reading. There isn't the same exchange of being in the room, the same exchange of like reading, quote unquote, reading the vibe. Though of course, reading one's vibe comes from like one's own experience as well. So like, you know, like that too is all of course very subjective. And I think that's what's been important to me in my tarot practice, is to think of it as truly a subjective experience. I really feel like I'm reading subjectively through my own lens and experience. And I think keeping those things in mind have helped me be open to receiving any feedback from folks. Like if it's not hitting with someone, I want to know that, you know what I mean? So like it's allowed me to be humble and open to hearing how my reading is being received.
Yeah, that's a good point that we also are not getting that immediate feedback as well. And that, yeah, we want to know, I don't know if it's resonating, or, you know, I assume that I make mistakes or that something could come across not as I intend for it to. I don't know. And I don't know, the community is very kind and I mostly receive the positives. But yeah, it is different than that kind of direct thing where we hope we would pick up on like an energy shift or something and could like check in or something like that. But I know, I hope most of the people who receive my offering see my work in general, because I like dead things and I like bugs, and I know some people gift like a loved one some mail here and there. And I was just talking with a friend today and their friend was surprised to receive the tower, you know, and they were like, oh no, let's talk about that. And so yeah, it's a unique offering, I think, in terms of, you know, making sure we're queering the tarot in the ways that we would hope, and like lots of other variables, that it's just different than that back and forth in the same space.
Yeah, I love the idea of someone gifting someone sincerely the tarot reading and them receiving it and being like, oh wow, like I'm coming into this, I'm experiencing something, I'm being transported. Like, yeah, I can completely see that. I too have offered gifted handwritten readings as well, and I always wonder about that person receiving it. One thing that's been important to me is to kind of provide a contextual note in gifted cards. So I like provide a little insert that explains what it is, that explains the concept of the reading, and lets that person opt out if they're not into it, which has been really helpful to me and kind of alleviated some of those concerns in some ways. But I still worry about the idea of a gifted card. It's a little nerve-wracking. I feel like you and I are like really specific people who kind of, folks may know our vibe and know what to expect from us. And if you were not expecting it, you might be like,
that's very kind of you to include that. I'm just sort of like, good luck.
I love that. It's so good. Oh my gosh. All right. I feel like I don't know how our hour is nearly going to be drawing to a close. I feel like this has been just moments that we spent together, because I really enjoy talking with you as always. But we are reaching that time for you and for the listener. So I'm wondering, before we start to get towards wrapping up, is there anything that we haven't talked about that feels important for you to bring to the table in this kind of community space that Nick has allowed us so generously to kind of take on for the day?
No, I think that I would be repeating myself, but maybe I will just a little bit, that I just want folks to feel that they can sort of go buck wild with tarot, with their own magic, just get really weird and not care about what healing should look like, or self-growth, or you know, having a spiritual practice or anything, investigating oneself. I just want people to have fun. And I think that allows for us to go as deep as we want to and surprise ourselves. I think that's one of the biggest things to, like, you know, I want to encourage people to let yourself surprise yourself, because it's a lot of fun.
Perfect way to sum it up. Like, I very much feel that. I feel like very much Five of Wands energy around my practice. Like, sometimes it's in conflict with itself. Sometimes it's messy, and like, that's okay. Like, whatever it's going to be in the moment is whatever it's going to be. And I'm not gonna try to impose order. I'm not gonna try to allow others' input to strictly influence my work, except for where I want it to, taking in influences that I think help me expand my view of the tarot and help me kind of grow in my work with the tarot, and taking those in selectively as it feels right to me, and not in a any sort of like shame-based way. And like, you've been a person like that for me, who has really influenced my work in a way that has felt really like healthy and like ecologically sound to my practice. So I just want to thank you again for being in community with me and for sharing this space with me today. It was so, so beautiful.
Sam, thank you. And I'm honored. I love your work. I love your feed. So pleasing to my eyes and my brain. I smile often at your posts. And yeah, it was an honor to share a space with you today in this way. And I think the ways that we inspire one another, and that happens, like ripples out in our communities, is incredible. And I've just been blown away by folks, you know, in the Sincerely community and otherwise. I mean, people just amaze me and fill me with awe. And it's been incredible to witness people experiencing more and more self-trust through magic and through tarot. And I get all fired up and excited. And I'm just so grateful. I do not want to think about what it would be like, you know, without me having gone through this journey thus far, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yes to all of that. Thank you so much. And before I stop recording, just thank you to Nick and Angie for giving this space to us. I appreciate this moment together. And bye. We'll see you in the tarot. We'll see you online. We'll see you wherever you can find us.
In Search of Tarot is independently written, recorded, edited, and transcribed by Nick Kepley and Angie Miller. You can follow Angie on Instagram at birdgirl_, that's birdgerhl_, and you can follow me, Nick, on Instagram at In Search of Tarot. Have a question or a comment? Email us at isotpod@gmail.com. We also invite you to leave us a rating and review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.